Hello and welcome to The Wanderer, the Anglo-Saxon history and mythological podcast. Anglo-Saxon life and warfare. Social structure. The social structure of the Anglo-Saxons was complex, with a clear hierarchy that influenced every aspect of their lives. At the pinnacle of this hierarchy were the kings who held both political and religious significance. The king's role was not to govern, but also to serve as a link between the mortal realm and the divine. Nobles or thanes played a crucial role in supporting the king, often serving as his trusted warriors and advisors. Beneath the nobility were freemen, individuals who owned land and engaged in various occupations, such as farming, craftsmanship, and trade. Slaves, the lowest class, were often prisoners of war, or individuals who fell into debt. The king's court, or comitatus, was a central feature of Anglo-Saxon society. It served as the king assembly, where decisions were made, disputes were settled, and the king's thanes gathered to swear oaths of loyalty and service. These relationships were bound by mutual obligations, with the king providing protection and rewards, and the thanes offering loyalty and military service. The economy. The Anglo-Saxon economy was primarily agrarian, with the majority of the population engaged in farming. Land ownership was a key determinant of social status and wealth. The concepts of folkland and bookland reflected different forms of land ownership. Folkland held collectively by the tribe was subject to inheritance laws that kept the land within the community. Bookland, on the other hand, was privately owned and could be freely bought and sold. The economic system was also influenced by a system of reciprocal gift-giving. Generosity was highly valued, and kings, nobles, and wealthy individuals were expected to distribute gifts to their followers. This practice, known as gefol, reinforced social bonds and ensured loyalty within the warrior aristocracy. Trade was another essential aspect of the Anglo-Saxon economy. Coastal regions engaged in maritime trade, while inland areas participated in overland trade routes. The development of market towns and trade networks contributed to economic growth and cultural exchange. Religion. The religious beliefs of the Anglo-Saxons were rooted in a polytheistic tradition known as heathenry. Their pantheon included gods such as Woden, Thunor, Frigg, and other lesser deities associated with natural forces. The Anglo-Saxons believed in a cosmic order governed by the concept of weird, often translated as fate or destiny. This concept emphasized the interconnectedness of all things and the inevitability of one's destiny. Religious practices were diverse and included rituals, sacrifices, and the use of sacred sites. Burial mounds and other significant landmarks were considered places where the divine and earthly realms intersected. The role of priests or witka involved conducting ceremonies, interpreting omens, and offering guidance on religious matters. Warfare. Anglo-Saxon warfare was integral to their way of life, shaped by a combination of internal conflicts and external threats. The warrior class, known as the Fyrd, formed the core of Anglo-Saxon armies. These warriors were skilled in the use of a variety of weapons, including swords, shields, spears, and axes. The shield wall, a tightly packed formation of warriors holding interlocking shields, was a common tactic in battle, emphasizing both individual skill and collective strength. Leadership in warfare was crucial, and the success of a king or chieftain in battle was often seen as a reflection of his fitness to rule. The heroic ideals of the Anglo-Saxons are vividly depicted in the epic poem Beowulf, where the titular hero embodies virtues such as courage, loyalty, and the pursuit of glory. The Mead Hall, a communal gathering place, played a significant role in the warrior culture. serving as a venue for feast storytelling and the distribution of rewards. Raids and invasions were frequent, with Viking incursions posing a significant threat during the latter part of the Anglo-Saxon period. The Battle of Hastings in 1066 marked a pivotal movement leading to the Norman conquest of England and the end of the Anglo-Saxon era. The Anglo-Saxon way of life and warfare were interconnected and reflected a complex social, economic and religious tapestry. The legacy of the Anglo-Saxons continues to influence our understanding of early medieval history, providing insights into the dynamics of power, faith and enduring spirit of the warrior ethos. The Anglo-Saxons, during their reign in England from the 5th to the 11th century, engaged in a distinctive form of warfare that shaped both their society and the course of history. This essay will delve into various facets of Anglo-Saxon warfare, examining the tactics employed, the weaponry utilised, the societal implications of conflict, and the impact of external threats on their military strategies. Tactics. Shield war. One of the most iconic and effective tactics employed by the Anglo-Saxons was the shield wall. This formation involved warriors standing shoulder to shoulder, interlocking their shields to create a formidable barrier against enemy attacks. The shield wall was not only a defensive strategy, but also served as a means to advance or hold ground during battle. The success of this tactic relied on the discipline, coordination, and skill of the warriors involved. Flanking maneuvers. While the shield wall was a staple, flanking maneuvers were also crucial in Anglo-Saxon warfare. The ability to outflank an opponent provided a strategic advantage, disrupting their shield wall and exposing vulnerabilities. Skilled commanders would use the terrain to their advantage, employing tactics such as ambushes and surprise attacks to gain the upper hand in battle. Siege warfare. Anglo-Saxon warfare extended beyond open field battles to include siege warfare tactics. Anglo-Saxon fortifications, known as burhs, played a crucial role in both offensive and defensive siege warfare. Burhs were strategically positioned strongholds, often located at key points along rivers or major roads. These fortified settlements served as defensive bulwarks against external threats and provided bases for military operations. The construction of burhs involved earthworks, palisades and sometimes stone walls. The strategic placement of these fortifications was crucial, as they could control key transportation routes and serve as centres for local governance and military organisation. Burhs were equipped with watchtowers, gates and other defensive structures to withstand enemy attacks. Tunnelling and mining. Another tactic employed in siege warfare was tunnelling or mining. This involved digging tunnels beneath the defensive walls of a stronghold, with the aim of weakening the foundations or creating openings for a direct assault. Mining was a time-consuming and dangerous process, as it required both manual labour and structural expertise to ensure the stability of the tunnels. Anglo-Saxon engineers used wooden props to support the tunnel, and they sometimes employed counter-mining techniques to thwart the efforts of the defenders. The success of tunnelling operations depended on factors such as the composition of the soil, the thickness of the wall, and the ability to maintain secrecy during the construction process. Psychological warfare. Besiegers often utilised psychological tactics to demoralise defenders and hasten the surrender of a stronghold. This included tactics such as spreading rumours, launching propaganda campaigns, and employing intimidation tactics. The presence of siege engines, particularly when accompanied by the sight of a battering ram approaching the walls, could instill fear and uncertainty among the defenders. Logistics. Siege warfare required careful logistical planning. Besieging armies needed to secure supply lines to ensure a steady flow of provisions, weapons, and equipment. The logistics of maintaining a siege could be challenging, especially during prolonged campaigns. The ability to cut off or control the enemy's supply routes was often a key aspect of siege strategy. Additionally, diseases and famines were constant threats during sieges. The close quarters and limited resources within a besieged stronghold could lead to outbreaks of illness among defenders, impacting their ability to resist. Historical examples. One notable example of siege warfare in Anglo-Saxon history is the Battle of Reading in 871. During the Viking invasions, the Anglo-Saxon king Aethelred and his brother Alfred successfully defended the fortified town of Reading against the Viking army, showcasing the effectiveness of well-planned defensive measures. In conclusion, siege warfare was a complex and multifaceted aspect of Anglo-Saxon military strategy. The construction and defences of fortifications, the use of siege engines, tunnelling tactics, and the psychological aspects of warfare all played crucial roles in shaping the outcomes of conflicts. The study of siege warfare provides valuable insights into the technical, strategic, and logistical aspects of military operations during the Anglo-Saxon period. Weapons. Swords. Swords were a symbol of status and primary weapon for Anglo-Saxon warriors. These weapons were often handed down through generations, signifying both lineage and martial prowess. The design of Anglo-Saxon swords evolved over time, with the migration period swords giving way to more recognisable pattern-welded blades with distinctive hilt styles. Certainly, I'll provide an in-depth exploration of Anglo-Saxon pattern-welded swords, covering their historical context and the manufacturing process, cultural significance, and their impact on the art of war during the Anglo-Saxon period. Anglo-Saxon pattern-welded swords, a masterpiece of craftsmanship and heritage. The Anglo-Saxon pattern-welded sword stands as an enduring testament to the craftsmanship, artistry, and martial ingenuity of the early medieval period. These blades, with their distinctive patterns created through the intricate process of pattern welding, represent not only exceptional weapons but also cultural artifacts that provide insights into the technological prowess and aesthetic sensibilities of the Anglo-Saxon people. Historical context. Migration period and Anglo-Saxon England. The use of pattern welding in sword making emerged during the migration period, circa 375 to 568 CE, and continued through the Anglo-Saxon era, 5th to 11th century. The migration period witnessed the movement of various Germanic tribes, including the Angles, Saxons, and Jutes, into what would become England. As these tribes settled, established kingdoms, and engaged in conflict, demand for sophisticated weaponry increased. Viking influence. The latter part of the Anglo-Saxon period saw increased contact with Viking cultures. The Vikings, renowned for their seafaring prowess and martial skills, influenced the arms race in the region. This period of Viking influence coincided with the production of some of the most elaborate and well-crafted pattern-welded swords. Pattern welding techniques. Pattern welding involved the skillful combination of different types of iron and steel to create a blade with enhanced strength and flexibility. The core of the blade, often made of softer iron, provided flexibility, while the outer layers, made of harder steel, offered durability and a sharp cutting edge. The use of multiple layers allowed for a more efficient use of scarce resources and optimized the properties of the resulting blade. Forge welding. The process of pattern welding required intricate forge welding techniques. Strips of iron and steel were twisted, folded, and forge welded together to create complex patterns. This laborious and precise process demanded exceptional blacksmithing skills and a deep understanding of metallurgy. Layering and unfolding. The blacksmith would layer the strips of iron and steel, creating a sandwich-like structure. This layered billet would then be heated, hammered, and folded repeatedly. Each fold introduced new layers and further homogenized the composition of the metal. The repeated folding and forging not only enhanced the blade's structural integrity, but also contributed to the unique aesthetic patterns that became a hallmark of pattern welded swords. Carburization, the introduction of carbon into the steel during the heating process, played a crucial role in achieving a sharp cutting edge by selectively controlling the carbon content in specific areas of the blade. Blacksmiths could create a differentially hardened blade, a blade that was both tough and resilient along its core and razor sharp at the edges. Aesthetic patterns. The variety of pattern. One of the defining features of pattern welded sword is the intricate aesthetic patterns that adorn the blade. These patterns, often visible on the surface of the metal, vary widely and can include twists, herringbones, chevrons and other geometric designs. The choice of patterns was not only a result of the blacksmith's artistic vision, but also influenced by regional styles and cultural preferences. Symbolism and cultural identity. The patterns on the pattern welded swords held symbolic significance. They were not merely decorative, but conveyed a sense of cultural identity and prestige. The craftsmanship of a sword reflected the skill and status of its owner, whether a warrior, chieftain, or king. The sword, as a symbol of power and authority, became a canvas for expressing the cultural values and aesthetics of Anglo-Saxon people. Functional advantages. Strength and flexibility. The combination of soft iron and hard steel in pattern welded swords resulted in a blade with superior strength and flexibility. The softer core provided resilience, reducing the risk of breaking during combat. While the harder edges maintained a sharp cutting edge, the balance of strength and flexibility made pattern welding swords formidable weapons on the battlefield. Cultural significance, status and prestige. Owning a pattern welded sword was a mark of status and prestige. The intricacy of the patterns and the craftsmanship involved in their creation elevated these swords beyond mere tools of war. They became symbols of honour and social standing. The possession of such a weapon conveyed a warrior's commitment to martial prowess and his role within the social hierarchy. Burial customs. Pattern welded swords were often buried with their owners, a testament to their significance in both life and death. The inclusion of these finely crafted weapons in burial sites, along with other valuable grave goods, underscored the belief in an afterlife and the continuation of one's status and identity beyond death. Evolution and decline. Changing technologies. As the medieval period progressed, advancements in metallurgy and blade-making technologies led to changes in the production of swords. The rise of the knight and the development of plate armour shifted the focus towards weapons with more thrusting capabilities. The demand for pattern welded swords declined, and new techniques such as crucible steel production and later the adoption of the longsword took precedence. Legacy in the longsword. While the era of pattern welded swords waned, their legacy endured in the development of the longsword. The knowledge gained from pattern weldings, such as the importance of differential hardening, contributed to the refinement of later sword making techniques. The longsword, characterized by a longer blade suitable for both cutting and thrusting, became the primary weapon of the late medieval period. Artistic inspiration. The legacy of pattern welded swords extends beyond the functional realm of weaponry. These blades continue to inspire modern artisans, blacksmiths, and artists. The intricate patterns, once born out of necessity for functional superiority, are now admired for their aesthetic beauty. Contemporary bladesmiths often seek to replicate the techniques and patterns of pattern welded swords as a tribute to the craftsmanship of the past. Museum exhibits and cultural preservation. Pattern welded swords are prized artifacts in museum collections around the world. These exhibits not only showcase the technical excellence of the blacksmiths, but also provide a tangible link to the cultural heritage of the Anglo-Saxon people. The preservation of these artifacts is crucial for understanding the technological, artistic, and cultural achievements. Spears and axes. Spears were another common weapon valued for their reach and versatility. They could be thrown or used in close combat. Axes, both single and double-edged, were also prevalent. The use of axes was not only practical for combat, but also carried cultural significance as they were often employed in rituals and ceremonies. Archery played a significant role in Anglo-Saxon warfare. Bows often made of yew wood were used for both hunting and battle. Societal implications. Warrior culture. Warfare was deeply ingrained in Anglo-Saxon society, and the warrior class held a revered status, such as in the epic poem Beowulf, emphasised the virtues of courage, loyalty, and the pursuit of glory. The Mead Hall, a communal gathering placed, served as a focal point for the warrior culture, where feats of valour were celebrated, alliances were forged, and oaths of loyalty were sworn. Social mobility. Success in battle offered opportunity for social mobility. Warriors who distinguished themselves in combat would rise through the ranks, gaining land, wealth, and prestige, reinforcing the connection between martial prowess and societal standing. Oaths and loyalty. Oaths of loyalty were a fundamental aspect of Anglo-Saxon society. The bond between a lord and his thanes was sacred, forged through mutual obligation and reciprocated with rewards and protection. The breaking of oaths was considered a severe offence, and the theme of loyalty, trust, and the consequences of betrayal permeated Anglo-Saxon literature. The impact of external threats. Viking invasions. The latter part of the Anglo-Saxon period saw the emergence of a significant external threat. Viking invasions. Norse raiders, seafaring warriors from Scandinavia, targeted coastal regions and riverways, posing a formidable challenge to the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms. The Vikings' superior naval capabilities and swift, unpredictable attacks forced the Anglo-Saxons to adapt their offensive strategies. The Norman Conquest. The ultimate external threat came in 1066 with the Norman Conquest. The battles of Hastings marked a pivotal moment in English history as William the Conqueror, a Norman duke, defeated King Harold II. The Norman Conquest brought about a profound transformation in Anglo-Saxon society, introducing feudalism, centralized governance, and a new aristocracy. The conclusion. Anglo-Saxon warfare was a multifaceted aspect of their society, influencing social structures, cultural values, and the course of historical events, from the disciplined shield wall to the symbolic significance of weaponry, from the Mead Hall celebrations to the oaths of loyalty. The intricate tapestry of Anglo-Saxon warfare reveals not only pragmatism of military strategy, but also the deeply embedded cultural and societal implications of conflict. The legacy of their martial traditions continues to shape our understanding of this fascinating period in history, where the clash of swords and the thunder of shields echoed across the landscape, leaving an indelible mark on the annals of time. Thank you for listening to The Wanderer, the Anglo-Saxon History and Mythological Podcast.